Hi, Brett.
Hello.
Hi, we are good to go.
Awesome.
All right, so let's start off with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Okay, so my technical graduation date would have been June 2020, and my program was the Bachelor of Professional Studies in Music Business.
Berklee Online.
Correct.
Very cool. All right. So, and right, Berklee Online does not have a principal instrument. Is that correct?
Correct.
Cool. All right. So we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Yeah, so currently I am working as a social worker in a hospital in an acute care setting. I work with a wide range of patients and families and interdisciplinary team members to support safe discharge planning, support people. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Acute care, that means like an emergency basically, right?
No, actually acute care is any kind of hospital setting where there's inpatients.
Inpatients is people who stay overnight at the hospital?
Yeah, exactly. So more specifically, the units that I support are in general internal medicine. So that would be people who are experiencing health concerns that maybe aren't so specialized. So it's quite a wide range of people who aren't necessarily going for surgery, but need medicine, need to be treated in hospital, like you said, overnight at least.
Okay, so... All right, so my question is, so as a social worker, when you said that, the first thing I was thinking was mental health, but it doesn't sound like you're necessarily about mental health.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Our role is quite wide-ranging. So we are, how I would introduce myself to patients would be that our role helps to support with some of the non-medical side of things, so some of the practical supports. That can range quite a bit. So that can be things like financial resources, medication coverage, coping, so some of that more mental health support. It can be directing people to resources in the community for these things, as well as some practical support, say, for elderly populations who might need extra support at home, like meal delivery or those kind of resources. It's quite wide-ranging in that it can be crisis intervention or it can be kind of those more long-term programs that we help to connect people with to essentially to keep them healthy and out of the hospital from a more social perspective.
Got it. All the sort of life problems that go beyond the medical diagnoses that come up. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
So where do you work? What's the hospital, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, so I work in one of the biggest research hospitals in Alberta, and it's a big place.
About how many, do you know about how many staff there are, or do you prefer how many patient beds?
Oh, gosh. I think, I want to say that there's more than 800 beds, but that might be a guesstimate.
Sure. I feel like the ratio of staff to beds is usually what can't be more than 1 to 2 or less.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest employers, I would say, in our province.
Right. And you're in Canada, so Canada has national health care.
Yes.
Does that mean the hospital is a public hospital? Or?
Yep, that's correct.
So is your salary paid for by the province or possibly Canada?
That's a good question. Yeah. My understanding is that our health services are kind of under the government, not technically, I wouldn't be considered a government worker, but it is public health care. So in a lot of ways, yes. The answer would be yes.
So is your employer technically like a contractor?
I think technically, don't quote me on that, but yeah.
I was going to say something appears in your paycheck, but it's probably electronic anyway. So.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What's the team you work with? Like, who's on your team? Are you sort of the social worker department, or are you working with nurses, or you see my question? Like,
yeah, so it's a bit of both. We do have a social work team managed by a social work manager, and then aside from that, we are assigned to units. So we work with interdisciplinary team members, including physicians, nurses, other allied health professionals, which we fall under as well. So physiotherapy, occupational therapy, there's speech-language pathologists, there's dietitians, there's transition coordinators, quite a wide range. There's also other professionals available on consult basis, which includes but is not limited to psychiatry or other more specialized departments.
Sure, and you talked about this hospital being a very large employer. You're one of how many people doing what you do?
I think in our hospital, we've got, around 25 social workers.
That's substantial.
Yeah, it is.
So, in a typical week, how many patients / their families do you work with?
Yeah, and I think it can range a fair bit, but I'd say on average, at least 25.
Got it. And I guess I'm sure it ranges a lot, but kind of how much do you do with it? How much do you do with the family? Like, notice, do you get their info? You find out, okay, here's what you probably need. Here's some resources. Good luck. Or to what extent is there follow-up? To what extent do you ever end up, in touch with the same people for a month, months?
Right.
Question, right? Is it kind of like in, out, or is it a longer relationship?
That's a good question, and I think it's kind of a case-by-case basis. As I'm sure you're aware, people can be in the hospital for short times, or they can be in the hospital for quite a long time. So it really kind of depends on those medical circumstances that might keep them in hospital, as well as maybe some of the other circumstances that could keep them there longer. And so it is kind of... it's a role where you have to be very adaptable and very willing to adjust based on things changing quickly too, because we don't always know when we get sick as people how long it's going to take to recover, right? So much like it is out in the regular world in the hospital, it's not that different. So sometimes people will be there longer, sometimes they'll be there shorter. So depending on the length of stay, depending on what the needs are, because sometimes they might be in the hospital for a long time but not have a ton of social work needs, for example. So it could be a brief, one or two time visits, or it could be a very ongoing where you're seeing the same person quite frequently, maybe multiple times a week throughout their admission, to try to help to put those resources in place, help to connect them to better support them long term. So I guess the answer is, as it often is, it depends.
Cool. It does sound like you just work with people while they're in the hospital, though.
That's right. My role is limited to inpatients.
That's right. You said that. Cool. And let's see. About how many hours a week do you work?
38.75, typically.
God, I love these regimented jobs that you can be that accurate. And you have a schedule, no doubt. Is it a nice daytime schedule, or as a relatively new person, are you working an overnight here? I've heard nurses where, this month you're working nights and the next month you're working days.
Yeah, so far in my experience, it's been kind of your typical Monday to Friday daytime job.
Okay, great. And let's see, could you sort of take us through hour by hour what a typical day would look like?
Yeah, so for me, I get to work early in the morning, and I start my day by meeting with the team. in what we call rounds, where we learn kind of about the patients who are on the unit, what kind of different supports are needed, or discuss cases to determine what other supports might be helpful or needed, using kind of everybody's coming from a different specialty perspective. So kind of that holistic way of viewing people as more than just the medical concerns. And so we'll discuss that. And then from there, I will receive what we call consults in that meeting to determine who might need some support from social work. So that's one way that we receive our consults. And then afterwards, I would follow up by checking on my computer and our software to see what other support is needed, because we can electronically send consults to other disciplines. So so really that beginning part of the day, the first hour and a half usually would be kind of preparing my day, seeing what is most urgent. A lot of what we do is triage, so figuring out what needs to be done today versus what can wait, because we do get a combination of urgent matters and things that can, you know, kind of be taking place and supports that go on throughout a patient's admission over a longer time. So kind of setting that up. And then throughout the day, it's meetings with patients. I don't have any kind of schedule in terms of appointments, because in a hospital, things don't typically happen by appointment basis. It's, when there's procedures or other professionals that have to come in to see the patient, it's as able and that sort of thing. So we're really adjusting around the other schedules of other professionals as well. So oftentimes it's, you know, you try to see somebody, oh, they're sleeping, or you try to see them and they're down for a test or something. So it's a lot of adjusting throughout the rest of the day, but making sure I get through those priority consults, continuing on with my ongoing case management part of my job.
And then what do you mean by ongoing case management? Can you just define that?
Yeah, and so that would be for the longer-term patients who have more complex needs that aren't necessarily something that would be able to be addressed in just one meeting. So that case management of keeping things moving forward, just because it's not urgent doesn't mean we don't need to take it a step forward in that day, if that makes sense.
Sure. So is that often you're talking people who have mental issues?
Not necessarily. It can be all sorts of things. Sometimes it's applying for programs. We are fortunate in Canada to have a bit of a variety of different social programs available that can range from, like I said, meal delivery, like Meals on Wheels. I don't know if you have that in the States.
It is a thing, yeah.
Okay. Or things like, applying for programs for support for housing or support for addictions or mental health support. So sometimes those programs can take longer to get into. So the process for applying, sometimes it involves an application form from the patient. Maybe it needs a medical report. Maybe they need financial information, depending on the type of program. So those things take time to assemble. So that would be an example, I guess, of some of the case management that we would do, is helping people to move forward with those one step at a time. So, it's a big combination of urgent versus ongoing.
Got it. And then do you have like a end of the day paperwork pile?
Yeah, that's a good question. I try to keep up to date throughout the day. It's, you know, it's not always perfect, but trying to keep things organized for myself. I try to see a person or a family and then make sure I'm doing my paperwork on along the way so it doesn't pile up. But that's me. I like to stay organized.
Oh, that's very important, especially in the healthcare space.
It is, and it helps facilitate all the collaboration with the team, too, so that they know where you're at. Like I said, it's a big combination of working with the patients, working with the team, but we're all kind of collaborating. The patient is also a big part of their own healthcare team.
Great. So, one criteria you have to hit to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about doing social work, or even about doing social work in a hospital setting, that you enjoy?
Yeah, so I love connecting with people. That's actually the same thing that brought me to music in the first place, is that real emotional connection and being able to be there for people through some hard times. So as you can imagine, people don't typically go to the hospital for fun. So I really enjoy being able to, yeah, to be there and provide support, to provide resources, knowledge, and to help guide people when they need it. And I feel like a big part of that is the same thing that I write about in my music or wrote about in my music, is that empathy and that compassion, and that's what I bring and enjoy the most about my role.
All right, terrific. So let's take it back to 2020, although if you feel your story has a logical earlier starting point, we'll take it back further than that. But, you know, if we go to when you're finishing up at Berkeley, a good choice to be on Berkeley Online, since in the spring of 2020, all of Berkeley was Berkeley Online.
Yeah.
Only you paid less. So, like, I'm guessing you weren't thinking social worker. Could be wrong here. Like, put us in your headspace as you were finishing things up. And then let's take it one step at a time, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also in terms of where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah. So back in 2020, I was really finished up my degree. I had just a couple electives that I finished actually throughout 2019 into the very beginning of 2020, prior to us learning about what was about to unfold. So in March of 2020, I finished my final elective for Berkeley Online, and actually was traveling to Toronto, Ontario to do an artist entrepreneur program with Canada's Music Incubator. And so full intentions of diving into being an artist, managing my own career, as well as I was working part-time with a small artist management company out of Alberta as well. So I was doing a little bit of artist management, a little bit of teaching music lessons, and just finished up my degree. And the plan was to go kind of full force into my career as an artist, as well as to continue with managing and teaching music lessons. That being said, my headspace changed quite a lot when the world kind of came crumbling down in terms of not being able to go anywhere, not being able to have live music very easily unless it was online. And so I was no doubt feeling pretty defeated by everything and had to kind of reevaluate. And so that was, I guess, yeah, like April, May, when I was back from Toronto. I got to go for a week or two. Was supposed to be there for 2 months, and then yeah, I came back and kind of reset, was teaching mainly online, and then you know, things kind of continued on the same way, and I was able to start booking more and more shows slowly, but the music scene just hadn't come back the way that it was pre-pandemic.
Okay, good. Oh, by the way, before we go on, if I could just roll back a little bit, because I know that a lot of Berkeley Online students are a bit older. Don't, you know, there are Berkeley Online students who start right after high school, but a lot, you know, it's some number of years after they've done other things. Do you mind to, like, how did you take much of a gap between high school and Berkeley Online? And if so, and how long did it take you to get through the Berkeley Online program?
Yeah, so I went straight from high school, moved to Alberta from BC, British Columbia, to pursue a diploma program in vocal performance. So I did a 2-year program, and then I started a degree program here in Alberta, but then switched to Berkeley Online. So I would have been starting in 2016, 2017, I started at Berkeley Online.
Okay, so about 4 years, so pretty typical, really. Like, that's a pretty standard experience for a brick-and-mortar student, and I think increasingly common for the online school.
Yeah, and especially it just felt that it made sense because so much of my school transferred. It allowed me to continue on to get that degree and to, yeah, gain a lot of the knowledge that I was really excited about learning. So, yeah, and then it took me a while. I definitely did it part-time throughout, so I guess 2016, 2017, up to 2019, really. It was just that I just missed the cutoff, I think, for that graduation for that year, so I was defaulted to the June 2020,
Got it.
If that makes sense, yeah. So I guess 3 years it took me about.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. All right, so let's go back now to 2020, I guess, into maybe 2021. Music's coming back, but it's happening slowly, so, like, what next?
Yeah, and so, yeah, I was playing a show here and there, but it wasn't building. It was definitely difficult to connect with people, and I was really longing for that connection. I'm hardworking and ambitious, and I felt like I wanted to be able to do more, and I was feeling a bit limited, and honestly, as you get older, I think, for me anyways, I was really craving something a bit more stable in terms of finances, in terms of planning for the future, in terms of having good medication coverage, because that's important here. While we have, you know, healthcare in Canada isn't private, it's public and it's free, we still do have to pay for some of the extra health expenses. And so that's a really big part of why I started to look for something a bit more stable that I knew I'd still have fulfillment from. And so I explored quite a few things. I didn't actually apply to anything until I applied for social work, but I was looking at going into psychology. I was looking into kind of counseling. I was looking into all of those kind of helping professions because for me, music has been a huge journey of exploring my own mental health and exploring healing and hope and all of those things that I think come into play in any kind of mental health profession as well. And so my intention with going to school for social work had been to continue on to complete my master's degree and begin working as a clinical social worker, which is,
like a
similar
therapist, sort of, right?
Yeah, exactly, as a therapist. So, and that's still, I think, on the horizon,
sure.
But... yeah.
Could I pause you for one moment here?
Mm-hmm.
You say your music, you felt like getting in touch with your emotions, having that connection, that healing. So would you say these sort of healing professions, was it just sort of like a casual interest, or had you done like internships or other formal work there, or is one of your parents in that profession?
Yeah, I actually had no experience with any kind of social works, human services, anything like that.
Okay.
I had worked, like I said, artist management, teaching music. I also worked in a restaurant as a server and then as a manager for quite a few years.
Okay.
But that was mostly to supplement the music. And so, yeah, no, I really just sat down and thought about what really mattered to me, and that's what propelled me into this.
Great, great. So, and by what's the timeline? Like, at what point did you say, yes, I think I want to do this?
I think it was December of 2021.
Okay.
Would that be right? No,
December. A year and a half after COVID, so a bit over a year and change after graduation.
I think it might have been shorter, actually. I think it was December of 2020 because I would have started my program for social work in fall of 2021.
Got it. So, all right. So, but let's pull it back now to December 2020. You're like, okay, yeah, you want to do a healing thing, social work. You said ultimately clinical, but this seems like a good path, right?
Exactly.
So what then?
So then I started, I think at that time I was laid off actually from my restaurant job because things had closed down again. And so I was looking for left, right, and center for volunteer opportunities. I started actually volunteering with some festivals, volunteering with a food insecurity call center. I started just kind of looking for any opportunity to learn more And so because I didn't have any experience with human services or social work, I felt, okay, I've got to strengthen this application a bit. But I also got a chance to reflect on how much some of the music experience I had did play into that. I did some volunteering. I played some charitable shows. And so, yeah, it was just a way of kind of building myself up to create a good application for the Bachelor of Social Work program, which I then applied to and was accepted for fall of, I think it would have been 2021.
Right. You said Bachelor of Social Work?
That's right. BSW.
BSW. Cool. And was that another online program or is that an in-person?
It was primarily in person. However, some of it became online. I think just with how the pandemic shifted things, I think a lot of schools have found ways to be creative about accessibility. So I'd say probably 50-50 it ended up being.
And I'm sorry, where is this school that you went to?
Which school? University of Calgary in Edmonton, actually. Calgary's a 3-hour drive from here, but they have a satellite campus, I think it would be called, here in Edmonton.
Sure, sure. Cool. So how long did that program go for?
That was a 2-year program, full-time.
And can I ask, is that, like, was it 2 years for you because you already had a bachelor's degree, or could you?
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Like, so you didn't have to retake history and English and all that.
Exactly. Pretty much all of my electives beyond social work electives, more specialized social work courses, were taken care of. I didn't have to do anything except an intro to social work class, which I guess would also fall under social work.
Gotcha. All right. And then 2 years, was there much of a practicum or, like, you know, were you going out and doing what you call it, internships or?
Yeah. So, in the program, there was 2 practicums, and I got the opportunity to work with an organization for supporting women and gender diverse folks who are at risk or have been criminalized. And then I had my second practicum in a healthcare setting as well.
Got it. All right. So now we take it up to, I'm guessing, spring of 2023. Congratulations, you got your bachelor's degree in social work. And so what next? I guess we'll get there. I was wondering, are you in your first job after
college? Yeah, so I was fortunate to get hired immediately in the same healthcare setting that I did my practicum in. And so I worked casually, so just kind of on call pretty much from... it would have been actually a year ago today. This is my 1-year anniversary there today. And so I started in May 1st last year, and I worked through to mid-October as a casual, and then I got hired as a temporary employee covering full-time as of October.
Okay, so casual, you said sort of on-call is needed, I think, like being a substitute teacher.
Yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it.
Do you mind me asking, when you're temporary on call, because substitute teachers, the pay is total garbage compared to even what regular teachers are paid here in the United States.
Mm.
But, you know, then there are other professions where you might be very temporary in their day-to-day, but you're paid comparable.
Yeah, so the pay is actually the same. But the benefits is the difference. So you wouldn't have access to health benefits, sick days, that sort of thing. But the pay hourly is the same.
And then you said your current position as of October is a temporary full-time person, so...
Correct, yes.
What exactly does that mean? Because temporary, we're here in May, so that's quite a long temporary. Was this
exactly.
Like somebody on maternity leave, or...?
Yeah, so it can be people on maternity leave. It can be people who have accepted a temporary position elsewhere who have a full-time permanent position. So I'm currently covering what runs from, I guess, October 2023 to next May. So I still have a year left of this position.
Okay, at which point either they don't want it and you're offered it, or you have a bunch of experience.
Yes, and... given that this interview is not going to be shared super soon, I actually just recently, last week, accepted a permanent position full-time.
At the same place or a different place?
Same place, yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. The same job title and all that?
Or? Yeah, yep.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
And you said, so this was the same place you did your student practicum, and they hired you, so you kind of, you essentially started as a student at a practicum and have gotten sort of three steps upward at the same place, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, wonderful. All right, and here you are. So, Grace, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And I'm going to preface this next question by saying there is no right or wrong answer. So these days, let's define that as 2024. What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
So with music right now, I am feeling probably the furthest I've felt from it in terms of sharing with you that I've just been working at this new career that's very important to me. I've put kind of my main focus on that. So I've taken a real step back from music, but it's still something that drives me, that I love dearly, that is a little bit right now, I would say, for me more than anything. It's been kind of a neat shift, actually, because I feel like I don't have any pressure with music right now. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I feel so drawn to it, and I feel like I'm able to actually get some of the passion back that I was maybe missing out of some of the stress of life and trying to have something sustainable. And so right now, my relationship with music looks a lot like listening to a lot of music. It looks a lot like, playing a one-off show every few months. And practicing and enjoying it that way. It might not be a central focus, but it's still deeply ingrained in a personal way.
Sure. That's great. And for what it's worth, I figured out I put people into four categories, even though, of course, relationships are very complex. And the categories go sort of passive, personal, casual, and semi-professional. Semi-pro is where it's like still a nice side job. Because you did refer to playing show, the occasional show, whatever, put you in the casual category. Personal means they're not people who aren't playing it out, like putting it out into the larger world, and passive means listening but nothing else.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate right now. And I still think in the future it'll become more of a semi-professional. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's just sort of a snapshot as to where people are at.
Yeah, I think that's a good reflection tool, actually.
And for what it's worth, several people who I interviewed about their great non-music careers are, to my knowledge, currently working in music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, all right, so next question I have for you is, obviously, like, at Berkeley is a bachelor's degree, and there are jobs out there which are, like, bachelor's degree required, and hey, I'm qualified. But, and I know that you went back to school and got a second degree. But let's say, besides it being a first bachelor's degree, which at least got you a whole bunch of credits that you could put toward your second bachelor's, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
Yeah, I think that in some ways, having the online school taking place while I was working full-time and, juggling a lot of different things, I think it taught me really good time management. Mm-hmm. I developed some pretty good relationships with my professors while I was there, and learned how to make solid connections online because my degree was online. And I think that that's an important skill that I use every day, actually. There's colleagues that I work with on a daily basis, or even maybe a little less frequently than that, but who I haven't actually met in person. So I think that was a really good skill that I learned. I think the creativity, I really enjoyed my songwriting class with Berklee. It gave me some freedom to explore my writing, and I think that it made me a better writer in general. And, you know, I know paperwork can be the bane of people's existence at work, but I do find that it's a big strength of mine that I can write really clearly and you know, just concisely and getting messages across that way. Otherwise, I think just connecting, it really pushed me to connect with people, whether it was peers in the program or professors. I think it gave me a lot of people skills, too, that helped me.
Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. And to flip that question around, I see Berklee gives that, well, Bachelor's Professional Studies degree. And, you know, you got that, then you figure up, go, I want to do this other career, go back to school, got it. Okay, things have gone well for you. But all that said, when you look back at your Berklee education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berklee? And they could have taught it to me, and they didn't.
I think that it would have been really cool to have a class that maybe explored some internship opportunities. I did take an internship in the music industry class, which I loved, and that, you know, helped me to work as an artist manager with my artist management company that I worked with. But I think some more opportunities for exploring, like maybe even micro internships with organizations that Berklee has relationships with, I think could have been really cool. I think that for me, one of the biggest challenges with graduation was it did feel a lot like, you know, you're given the wings but not quite the muscles yet to jump and to explore some careers and to make those connections to kind of, yeah, find that, sure. I don't know, find that path, I guess.
All right. Very cool. So next question I have for you is, let's see, you write, you graduate through the pandemic, so it's really hard to kind of get your footing in the music industry, and then you thought, what's really important to me, and decided what you care about, went back to school, got another degree, and it put you right on the path you're on. Not everybody has found that path, and there are other, you know, the students who are currently at Berklee sort of staring out to the big, scary world, wondering what comes next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I think that the biggest gift that you can give yourself is some time to feel it out, to explore, to try things, and to really listen to your gut, because I think for me, that's what I needed. I think that over our time, especially pursuing higher education, we have such a great opportunity to get to know us, to get to know ourselves, what we need and what we really want. And so I think just, yeah, giving yourself that chance too. That's the best advice I could give.
All right, wonderful. And to focus in there, I met you somewhere around my 245th interview, and no one's listening to all 245. So anybody who's made it this far is going to be saying, huh, you know, probably thinking social worker in the healthcare space, or at minimum social work. So I feel like you might be my third social worker. So let's say for someone who's really thinking about social work as a potential career, right? They haven't gone back to school yet. Do you have any specific advice for them?
I think my advice to them would be similar. I think it would be explore volunteering opportunities, explore, you know, explore jobs in human services that you can do without the degree to really find find out if that's something you want to do. Because, you know, it's not for everybody, but for me, it's been amazing, and I'm really, really grateful to be where I'm at. But I think that there can be times in any program similar to Berkeley where you're in it and you're wondering, but where is it, where am I going with this? What is my life going to look like? And I think it can be helpful to kind of take opportunities to explore before you fully dive in, and help you to develop your passion and find your niche and find the communities or the people that you might want to work with and support. That would be my best advice for them.
That's terrific. By the way, as an aside, I'm friends with a former student from back right when I started teaching, and he a year ago got his master's in social work and has been, you know, doing social work professionally for a year now. But he's in his late 30s, so congratulations on figuring out quite quickly.
You know, there's no time limit, but I'm glad to be here now.
Yep. Great. Well, all right. So I just have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, in that case, I'd like to thank you again for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation. It's really good work you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Good to chat with you as well.
All right. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye-bye.